Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. You Are My Glorious Rose, number 6, from the cycle of miniatures, Cypresses, by Antonín Dvořák, performed here by our guests today, the Cypress String Quartet. Violin Cecily Ward and Tom Stone, viola Ethan Filner, and cellist Jennifer Kletzel. Jennifer?
Hi, Jill.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm just fine. I tell you, you guys are playing so beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
Really,
oh, that's so sweet. I appreciate that.
Well, I don't know. I always kind of, I remember that you were playing beautifully. And then when I listen to the new recordings that that we get, I say, they're still playing beautifully.
Oh, so. I'm glad. Well, hopefully, they either say you're getting better or you're getting worse. You can't.
Well, what it is they use the word lyrical, which I think is absolutely perfect because that's what I find in you. There's a connection there on a very emotional level.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, in the spring we have a Schubert album coming out, so hopefully that'll continue.
Well, I was going to say Dvorak prepared you for that, I guess.
As well, and lots of Beethoven. I'd say the two things combined together.
Well, the Beethovens were amazing. I think that was the last time that we spoke.
I think that's
and,
right.
Oh, they were just marvelous.
And we're in the middle of the middles, so the middles will be out sometime next year. So.
My goodness. Well, you're really very prolific considering, it's lots of work to put them together, I guess.
It is a lot of work, but it's worth it. It's wonderful work.
Well, you can hear that. I really must say that I don't wax poetic about string quartets very often, but I really feel something with you when you play. It's so from the heart. That's what I feel.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a profundity and also the beautiful sound, the tone quality. And of course the Dvorak you must have just dug your teeth into, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, we're named after
yes, of course.
Music, so it's very close to us. So we continue to explore that music. And the music is so great and the American Quartet is what everyone knows, but there's such richness in all his other pieces.
Well, the Cypresses I've always been aware of, and this is really a gem of an album because you do actually all of them, I guess, right?
We do, yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about they're inspired by, Dvorak wrote them inspired by some poetry,
Czech composer. That is right. Actually, like many composers, they're writing about life experiences and the story goes with those pieces that he was 24 years old and he fell in love with one of his students, Josefina Chermakova, and she was, I think, 16 at the time. And she, spurned his advances. She was not interested. And he, in this outpouring of passion about that situation, turned to music and he wrote a set of 18 love songs based on this poetry that he had read that spoke to him.
I think the poetry was also written by someone who was probably deeply heartbroken. I think there was a lot of pain in that.
I think so as well. So, but he did this very quickly. It was sort of a cathartic exercise, I would say, like less than 2 weeks. And he showed them to a friend, and the friend said, "Well, I don't think this is your, truly best work. Let's put it away for now. Let's let this age a little and see." And in fact, that song cycle was not performed with voice and piano until 1984.
Wow. What year was that? So what year are you talking about when he told them to put it away?
I think it's 1880. I'll think about that. 1880. 7 or something along those lines.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I, you know, through the years, I don't think I ever associated Cyprus with Dvorak or knew much about them, you know. And all of a sudden they surfaced in a way and were kind of discovered, not even rediscovered, I think, by the listening public. They're very romantic, and of course
they are very romantic.
Yeah.
So actually, I just found my notes here with my score. So 1887 is actually when he reset some of the songs for quartet. So he wrote in 1865 is when he was in love and wrote these. Then what's interesting is he revisited them many times, and in fact used 6 of the songs in other music. So when he returned to the song settings later in his life, and here's the interesting twist: of course, Dvorak married Josephina's sister.
He settled, I guess.
Although they had many, many children and seemed to have a very happy life together.
Oh, that's good.
But Josephina was his sister-in-law and still in his life. And I think there's still that little bit of his heart still lay there. And when Josephina was struck ill later in life, I think he really was thinking about these songs again. And in 1887, he set 12 of them for string quartet. So it's the only song cycle for string quartet that I know of. There may be, maybe composers are working on them now, but it's just wonderful what he did with them, because he fleshed out he orchestrated the piano parts.
Well, actually, that's what I knew. I knew the orchestrations because, I'm being obviously, aware of what's going on with symphonic work and so on. But when I was surprised, I'm not surprised at the subject matter being 4-string quartet, but I never really knew much about them, other than in an orchestral form.
Right, because Joseph Suk, his son-in-law, took 10 of the cypresses and set them for string orchestra, and he changed them a little bit there, too. So, the pieces have been played with a number of times, and actually people often offer them, as encores or just a few at a time.
Right, exactly. They're short, and exactly that. They're like a lick and a promise, I think.
Right. Well, and we had great fun then exploring, what it's like to be able to present them as all 12. And, how they vary, how the key changes make you feel as you hear one to the next. And they're surprisingly difficult, given how simple they feel when you hear them.
So is there a little verse that accompanies them, each one, or no?
Yes, actually, you can find the poetry, and there are like 4 different translations of them. So you can sort of set out, actually, one of the things we did was study, because the vocal parts are pretty much intact in either the first violin or the viola, you can sort of follow along with the words, so we could kind of, we know what each one is about. And it really looks at all the different, some of them are very sweet, like as if he's remembering when she looked at him, what it felt like.
Right.
And other times, they're angry or frustrated or despondent. It's wonderful.
From the collection of poems by the Czech writer Gustav Flegomorovsky and the music of Antonín Dvořák, who retained the title for his cycle with its allusions to barrenness and solitude, we heard 2 excerpts from the collection of the cypresses, The Dead Heart Awakes Again and When Your Sweet Glances on Me Fall, performed by our guest today, the Cypress String Quartet. But once again, I think this was based on the poems of a Czech writer.
That's right, a Bohemian poet.
Yeah.
So,
So and I guess it's a universal language.
Yes.
Love and heartbreak.
Well, they say all music is about love or loss.
That's right.
In some form or another.
Yes. So. Oh, my goodness. Well, this is, but again, I don't want to sound, I'm not gushing, but I really enjoy, you know, looking for your newest releases. You always bring something special to each one. And this is very, this feels very personal, this
it
particular
is.
One. Yeah, I think it's probably not easy, but I think it's easier to identify on an emotional level in many cases. You know, when you're tangled up with the technicality of performing a work, and then you arrive at that level where you can just think about what you're doing. But this really calls to the heart. I think it's quite beautiful.
I think that's true of Dvorak's music. I mean, there is an intense gift of lyricism there in his writing. I mean, you just want to sing those melodies, no matter what music it is, whether it's, you know, symphonic music that he writes. There is something about the way he writes it. And then the way he writes all the other voices, every part is so crucial to the texture.
Yes.
And that's where the magic is. I mean, he was a violist. So I think he knew very well what the inner workings were.
Certainly for strings, yes. I was also reading about this a little bit where he was very happy to return. He was glad to leave New York and come back to his home territory.
That is true. I think he found it harder than expected. And in fact, actually, from what I understand, from what I've read, he did not want to leave Prague to come to the U.S., but they were offering him some huge, you know,
yes.
15 times or more what
right.
his salary was there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But then when he got here, you know, there were money troubles coming up with that. And I think he was homesick. He loved his homeland.
Well, things don't change too much. If you go to New York, you realize it's expensive and you really want to move back to your homeland. So.
Exactly.
And that's spoken as a New Yorker, I might add, not a Philadelphian. So, so now tell us a little bit about what's been going on with you in terms of not just the recordings, but are you touring? And let us know a little bit of where you're going and when and how and what.
Right. Well, we're always balancing the touring with the recording with trying to learn new music. And so we have been touring quite a bit, both in the U.S. and also in Europe. So this summer we were in Germany for a while. Actually, we were doing a radio tour in Germany, which was exciting. I had to dust off my childhood German. I had lived there for a year as a child. And,
really?
And I had to do some interviews in German, which was very nerve-wracking. I love doing interviews, but that added an extra element of difficulty. But everything turned out okay.
Where were you in Germany?
We were in Cologne, in Munich. We did a radio program in Hamburg and... in Frankfurt.
Well, now, how do they receive, what's the situation with music there and chamber music especially? I mean, is it still, is it a good place to be? Are people listening? Do they come to concerts?
Yes. Actually, I find one thing that I do find quite different is, you know, the audience, it's much more, I don't know how to put this, but normal there for people of all ages to attend concerts. And music is just a part of life. When I walk down the street in Europe, people don't say, "What is that on your back?" They say, "Oh, I like your cello case."
Oh,
or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, they know what it is.
Interesting.
Yeah. And this, you know, we've been very well received there, which is wonderful. And so it was nerve-wracking to play the music of, you know, to be an American quartet and going to Germany or Austria and playing Haydn's music and Beethoven's music and hoping that they won't be like, "Oh, you're too American to play this," which we've never had that experience.
So. No, I would think not. And probably you have sophisticated audiences that don't think that way anymore. I mean, that's
Well, they often, I mean, we had a patron who kept, and so he came up to us a number of years ago in Bavaria and he said, "You're not all American." And we said, "Yes, all four of us are."
That's a compliment,
I
think.
You can't all be American because you don't play like Americans. And then that opens up that whole, you know, what is the American sound? And
or the new world, I think it is. It's kind of still part of the new world. I mean, it's like, oh, you know, you people from over there that really don't understand the depth of our, you know, intelligence and creativity. And it is a kind of an attitude. It is an attitude, I think so.
Well, but back to Dvorak. I mean, Dvorak was, you know, when he was here, he put out that call to American musicians and composers saying,
yes,
stop looking to Europe for your inspiration because there's so much great music and, you know, history here. And then he really turned around, I think, how American music.
Well, he was the one that would, you know, looked at Indian music as being, mm-hmm. you know, the Native exactly. American music. I mean, he was exactly. the one that kind of discovered it and incorporated it in his work. So
that's right.
I mean, you're absolutely right.
Our most recent album explores that. The whole
really?
American album is all about, here's Dvorak's call, and then here are some composers, you know, where American music went after that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, maybe you have to go away from your roots to appreciate them, or you need someone's a different eye or a different mm-hmm. ear. But you know, it's like we say, oh, well, we went to Europe and we heard this, and he said, well, I went to the United States and this is what right. I discovered. So,
well, and what's interesting is when Dvorak went back to his homeland, it took him over a year to be able to write something. He was working on a string quartet, but it mm. took him, and one of his great, you know, his last two string quartets are amazing, but it took him a year, as he wrote at some time, to get the American feel and sound out of his head, out of his ears. And mm. then when he wrote those last two quartets, they are, in a way, the most Slavic and Czech in feel. And
well, he was homesick, I think, that I had read somewhere. He was very, very homesick as well. I mean, I think that happens no matter where you live. It may not be the greatest place in the world, but, you know, you grew up there and you lived mm-hmm. there and your family was there and your memories are there, and you go away and there's this emptiness inside. Not that you really want to be there, but it's just not right if you're not. And I think that's exactly what he was feeling. More than 30 years after Dvorak wrote the song cycle Cypresses, he had changed his attitude about how he felt about being in the United States. He wrote his string quartet number 13 in G major, opus 106, at that time, and it is said that it was an expression of thanksgiving for the composer's return to his native land. Here are the first and final movement of the string quartet, number 13 in G major, opus 106, performed by our guest today, the Cypress String Quartet. Music of Antonín Dvořák. From their newest release, the Cypress String Quartet has performed the first and final movement of his string quartet number 13 in G major, opus 106. Now, in terms of your choosing repertoire, are you on a particular track? I mean, are you kind of going in any direction, or are you saying, gee, maybe we've got to play that because that would be fabulous?
Well, actually, our biggest problem is that we have too much great music that we all want to play. Mm. So picking and choosing is difficult. So we are on a course of Beethoven. Beethoven has always been, you know, I would say that if there was one composer that drew us to play in a string quartet, it was Beethoven.
So I know you had several releases of the late quartets.
We've recorded all the late quartets. And we're in the middle of recording all the middles, and then, you know, one would assume we'll go to the early
ones. Yeah.
So we're almost done with the middles. But in the meantime, you know, other things strike our fancy or opportunities come up, because this Dvorak album or the American album, or we have a Schubert album coming out, things that, you know, really speak to us as musicians. And then there's also the wonderful living composers that we work with and become very close with and want to champion their music. We have a lot of irons in the fire. And, you know, my quartet had said from the very beginning that we would only play music that we really believe in, that we want to wrap ourselves up in for hundreds of hours. But that's hard.
Well, no, that's a commitment. But mm-hmm. I'm going to say something that may sound not too intellectual, but I think as you get into the more contemporary music, it's harder to find the core of them, the works. I mean, in other words, to you have to kind of approach them differently than our more, I don't want to say tonal, but let's say our more, what's the word that I'm looking for? Tonal?
Tonal. Well, I think that our aesthetic, I mean, we've commissioned and premiered over 30 works. It may be close to 35 now. And I think that I've noticed our aesthetic is one that is more lyrical and has melody, but is also, you know, so it comes from this older music, but is music of now. And the way that we look for composers is somewhat unusual. We don't sort of go with what's popular and what people are listening to right now. We actually do a listening process where we don't know whose music it is that we're listening to.
Oh, that's interesting.
But when all four of us, three of us, because one of the members, our violist, is the front line of defense there, and he puts together these listening lists for us, it's an ongoing process, and we listen in when all four of us are really struck by a composer's voice, their musical voice. We ask for more music by that composer, and then we commission them. And it could be somebody older, like Benjamin Lees. He wrote two quartets for us. Or someone, you know, young and upcoming. A number of years ago, we commissioned Kevin Putz, who then won the Pulitzer Prize last year.
Okay.
So there are people at all stages of their career, but if there's something in the music that grabs us, then we want to, spend time in that world.
Yeah, I would imagine that. I think you, at some point, something does speak to you. You really do. That's the way it is with music. I mean, I think that you, even as a quartet, and you're all thinking together, but I guess there is something that makes you kind of sit up and say, that's interesting. Maybe we should explore that. Is that call and response program that we're talking about?
This is our 15th year of doing call and response, and that's sort of how it began. Our very first commission was through call and response, but what has happened is, as we become close with composers we've worked with in call and response, we will often recommission them and have two or three or four pieces from them. Right. So that's not all through call and response. But the call and response idea is one that I think all of us were attracted to the way that this would work in terms of presenting it to audiences and students and other people, which is, we take older pieces that are somehow related, and that relation can be loose or can be specific, and then we ask a living composer to write a response to that music. And again, we don't put any constraints on that. Sometimes they like listen to the keys that the pieces are in and find some kind of inspiration through that. Sometimes they, sort of connect the dots with another composer that we hadn't thought of in there and then are writing based on that, but may have been influenced by, we don't put the constraints on them. We want them to be as free as possible to write.
Well, you'll have inspiration and perspiration with those keys.
Exactly.
some of them are really way out, or you can define what they are, but you say, is that really what it is? But I think in the more contemporary music, I have to say I had, of course, read a lot of the comments that were written about you. And one of them said that you count the Cleveland and Juilliard quartets as some of your greatest influences. I must tell you that I was never really too much into, quartet playing. I'm not a string. I play the harp, but that certainly has nothing like strings. So the Cleveland quartet was one that always just took my heart. I mean, and I think there's something about, not that you're like them, but there's something that's the same quality that I feel when I listen to your...
Huge compliment. Thank you.
Well, there was something about them. And again, I'm not terribly informed about, quartets or quartet playing or what goes into it. I mean, other than just, knowing music and working with it all the time. But Cleveland always kind of touched me, even Juilliard, but Cleveland. So I think whatever you're doing... it's working.
Thank you. Yes. No. I think that what attracts you to a quartet or to a piece of music is a little bit ephemeral. It's like there's a gut reaction to it, And I think that I feel the same way about the Cleveland. The other three members of my quartet all studied with Cleveland Quartet players, so that's partly why the influence comes.
Interesting, yeah. Interesting. And I wouldn't have known that either. It's just that that's the same reaction that I got. You don't find, I mean, quartets generally now, you don't have a lot of them, but I think they're becoming more exposed. The audiences are becoming more exposed, I think, to quartet playing. I think it was very intellectual at some point.
Right. It was almost like a secret society.
Yes, absolutely. Or you had to really know, or you just wanted to get together with some friends. But generally, I mean, now they're kind of out there. And as I say, your releases have all really been extremely accessible. I say that as a compliment. You want to sit down and listen to this. You want to kind of bathe in this entire experience. And I congratulate you once again for a wonderful album. Wonderful album.
Appreciate that. Thanks so much.
So hopefully we'll be. You're already working on your next. So
our next few.
And keep me posted. And perhaps when does that look like it's going to take shape?
Well, our Schubert is coming out, I think, in May, April or May. Schubert album, and that's got the amazing cello quintet on it, and the quartet sots. So that's a kind of a different direction. We haven't recorded Schubert before. And then we've got the middle Beethoven's next year, and a couple other things that I'm not at liberty to discuss yet. But
it's nice that you have such a long list.
Yes, it is. It keeps us busy. Let's just put it that way.
Well, it keeps you busy, and I think probably how many years have you in this configuration been together?
Well, the quartet was formed in 1996, so we're 17 years old, and three of us are original members. So our current violist, who has been with us for more than 12 years. Now that's a pretty settled group, I would say.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you so much, Jennifer. Wonderful speaking with you. My best to all of your wonderful cohorts, and we look forward to the next one.
Thank you, Phil.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
We've been speaking with Jennifer Kletzel, cellist of the Cyprus String Quartet, on the occasion of their newest release, Cypresses for String Quartet and the String Quartet No. 13, Opus 106 by Antonín Dvořák. Hear now from that album several more of the Cypresses. Music of Antonín Dvořák from his collection of songs, Cypresses. We heard The Old Letter in My Book, There Lived Once My Sweetheart, and You Ask Why These Songs of Mine, performed by the Cyprus String Quartet on their newest album, Dvořák, Cypresses for String Quartet and the String Quartet No. 13. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Patti, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.